We said tonight at the outset that we were here to put the economics back, or the ethics back into the economics of the corporation tax debate. But someone else who's been putting the ethics back into economics generally recently is, of course, Pope Francis. And he's also been putting the ethics back into the ecology debate. In fact, ecology and economy really go together because they share the same root word, the Greek word oikos, meaning home, and they need to be in tandem for us to live well on planet Earth. And one of the reasons I think that's why Pope Francis has been talking about that is because he is a Jesuit, and the Jesuits are well known for their clear heart for the poor, a religion of the poor, a religion by the poor, and most of all a religion for the poor. And so we're very glad to welcome tonight Brendan McPartlin, the first of our panelists tonight, who is going to come and talk to us about the theology and the ethics of tax justice, something that has been sadly missing from the debate. We haven't just had a lack of counter-narrative on this over the last number of years. We have had a lack of ethical narrative, as if it was a top-down technicality, instead an issue with profound moral implications, particularly for the most vulnerable. As I said, Brendan is a Jesuit. He's had a long and varied career that's taken him to Hong Kong as a teacher, as a lecturer in social ethics in Dublin, and now as an immigrant support worker in Portadown. And don't we need more people like Brendan showing the compassion of Jesus Christ to the stranger amidst us, that we might be inspired by the daily wisdom of Holy Scripture and how we treat the stranger amongst us, not the daily nonsense of the Daily Mail and their ilk. So, Brendan, we welcome you here, and we thank you for your contribution. Folks, let's give my hand.
It is true that I'm a Jesuit, and we do have a long training, during which I think I never heard anything mentioned about texts. And I think that may be symptomatic of all the churches, and certainly of the time I've been through. My formation was many decades ago. The churches talk rather little about it, until recently, and I think in the UK context there's been more talk about it, and even in the video there, I think a lot was said. My own understanding of it all simply comes from the fact I worked for maybe about 30 years in Dublin with shop stewards and workers, making up my own social ethics, during which I talked very little about tax. But I give you the benefit. Jesuits are supposed to think clearly. I'm sure they do. I'm sure Pope Francis does, and there are those who do. But there are a few thousand more of us too, and I think our thinking is not so clear. What has become clear to me in trying to prepare for this is that we need to do our homework an awful lot more in the churches from a theological perspective. But I would note that none other than Thomas Piketty has said, he's an economist, the economists also need to crunch the data and talk from the data rather than from the from dogma. So they have to do the work as well. A little bit I've understood is this. If you want to be strictly theological about it, well, Jesus said, give to Caesar what's Caesar's and to God what's God's. And I don't find that will help me in this problem, except that it strikes me as being one of those hugely wise sayings that somehow has a depth of wisdom about it, rather like a Buddhist koan. And if you think long enough about it, you learn something anyway. And I think over 2,000 years we have been thinking about it. I think you need a professional theologian to actually do a proper exegesis on it. But I'll skip a few millennia and come down to the area of theology that I use myself in my thinking, which is the Catholic social teaching, which developed, I suppose, during the Industrial Revolution, reflecting on Enlightenment thinking, reflecting on political philosophy, reflecting on the degradation of workers in the Industrial Revolution, and moving on since, and developing some of the ideas since, and I think that's where you get Francis talking from. One thing I've learned about it, when it comes to the economy, there's one major model which you're calling the neoliberal model, And that seems to me just simply a rehash of former models that were there during the Industrial Revolution. And that Catholic social teaching at that time did not like that particular model. They actually called it the Manchester Doctrine. And what they were talking about was the exploitation of workers under the factory system. So they were talking about things like extreme individualism, an overemphasis on the ownership of property, and the exploitation of other people in developing your property and the profits out of it. A very individualist approach to things. I think you see that sort of model repeated again in different circumstances with different emphases. Again, in our time, through Friedman in Chicago, what Naomi Klein calls the Chicago Boys, otherwise then known as neoconservatism or neoliberalism, and I think then evolving a little bit more into the current way of thinking about being extremely tight on the lower paid people. Basically what you're talking about there is a very individual approach to the economy, usually talking about property, therefore in the interest of property people, often in the interest of business, favouring small government and low taxes, and therefore the freedom of the individual in the marketplace, and the freedom of the marketplace without rules that interfere with freedom. However, while as a church we would criticise it hugely, it's not unethical. They would claim a very strong ethics. So if you look at the readings of people like Ayn Rand, if you've ever been reading her novels, very strong on being more ethical than thou, as being an extreme capitalist personalities in her novels. Or any of those right-wing, or those type of economists, they will claim ethics. And there is an ethics, as far as I'm concerned. The ethics is the exchange between individuals in the marketplace. It's a free exchange, a free agreement is made, and if you agree to something, it's a fair exchange. So there is fairness, and that's the basis of the ethics you want in the marketplace. So it is a fair system. In fact, a lot of, I suppose, the Victorian gentlemen who engaged in that type of capitalism were decent people, were men of their word, were fair people. What they didn't know or notice, and what we've noticed since, is that where you have myriads of those type of fair exchanges, there is a system outcome, and the system outcome is inequality, simply because the poor get poorer in some circumstances and the rich get richer. But they have not thought, they don't think about the system, they think about the rights of the individual. So the problem is inequality. In contemporary capitalism, the same issue is there. Inequality is increasing to alarming proportions. The system then is geared to service maybe the top 20% of people, maybe the top 10% of people, maybe the top 1% of rich. So inequality is a threat to democracy. It's a threat to general fairness, even though you've had many individual fair exchanges, perhaps. Within the law, maybe. They certainly do advocate to keeping within the law, although I do notice people who push the boundaries of the law tend to live beyond it, as many individual capitalists do, not too far from where we're standing. Is there an alternative to all this that is fair? Yes. Harder to name. Well, of course, one alternative was the communist reaction to it, the idea of the collective, and so on. Church was also critical of that, so tried to steer some sort of a third way. And what it has developed is a way that stresses things like solidarity between people is extremely important in society. That the economy is there to serve society, not society to serve the economy. So there's an order of priorities there. And one of the biggest concepts in it is the idea of the common good. It seems to me that individuals in the marketplace are acting in their individual good, they're acting for goods. Individual capitals in the marketplace, in other words, firms, in the small firms, in that particular economy, they're acting for their own good. You can call it individual, or you can call it common, because there is a common good for a company. In which you say workers' wages count in that common good in some way or another. Then, at a later stage in the development of history, we've reached the issue of the national good, the good of our national economies. And certainly that's an ideal worth contributing to, working for the common good of the national economy. There is the problem, of course, that the common good, who benefits more from the common good, or who makes the decisions as to what is the common good, and you do have class division in national economies. So there are those who probably influence the government more in decision making, who tend to act more for their own good than for the good of, say, lesser privileged people. And then there's one other level that's developing very strongly in the world today, is, of course, the global network of relations, the global economy, at least the trading relations that are there. You could talk about the need for a common good at a global level. And that seems to me what's largely at issue, is that people like Piketty, who are not working from church background at all, who are pure economists, but may have similar backgrounds in political philosophy and so on, they would see the inequality that's developing at a global level, and indeed at national levels too, as being dangerous at this stage, because it threatens the workings of democracy, it threatens the legitimization of that from the people, and therefore he would favor some way of ameliorating that through taxation. So in fact, in the end, he ends up being very much in favor of progressive taxation. As an ideal, the problem is how to implement it, and certainly at a global level. Okay, well, we're talking about corporation tax. We're not quite talking at a global level, so that's a challenge. What I see, actually, coming from the Republic, and I've only lived here for 6 years in Northern Ireland, we, of course, did have a low corporation tax. To some extent, it did work for us. There are upsides and there are downsides to it. But we did have a 50-year start. It is inimical to the common good of greater units. I think when we started, we were in competition with everybody else, so we weren't interested in the common good of Europe or the common good of the world or the common good of the United Kingdom. We were interested in the common good of the Republic of Ireland. So we were in competitive mode. And it did work for us to some extent. It has a lot of downsides. But I think we would be reluctant to let it go, certainly at the behest of France and Germany, who probably do similar things in a camouflaged way. For Northern Ireland, I suppose the issue is, are you looking for the common good of the United Kingdom? Are you interested in the common good of the globe? But in the end, I think you're being thrown out to the dogs, so you've got to fight for your own survival. And I think corporation tax is an economic strategy. I'm not at all in a position to judge on whether it's a good strategy or not, and certainly at this time of history, it may not be. But you have to find some way of creating an economy which will survive, because I do think that the United Kingdom isn't prepared to keep subventing the six counties. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Brendan, for that illuminating overview of ethics from a Christian, particularly a Catholic perspective.